I've made it back. I landed in France 2 days ago upon recording this and made it through storms. Had incredible writing sessions before I left. I turned some disappointment into, I would say, progress, and a really, really interesting project that came up because of that. And everything in between, just a few days after getting back, there's so many things that are kind of popping up in terms of the context of what I'm learning about songwriting, some of the artists that I really want to double down and work with, some of the things I realized I want to be involved with less. And I did promise before I left that I would give you a debrief, and also while I was there, try to update you guys with what's going on. But I think now, after a couple of days of being back, it would be a good time to wrap up the trip, essentially. And what's beautiful is I'm going to wrap up this trip, but slightly non-chronologically. You're also going to be hearing from 3 interviews I managed to capture while I was out there, which is really beautiful. So you'll be able to get a bit more of that special sauce, that feeling that happened while I was there. But as I've just come back, I wanted to be kind of fair and update everyone as to how it went, and also hopefully drop you guys into some insights that you'll be able to get more context on, as I said, when the interviews come out. But those of you that wanted to hear about how the trip went, because I've been ignoring a lot of things, Discord messages, and only really getting back to some of the clients. So thank you guys for being flexible and allowing me to work while I was out there, which is awesome. And there's so much that I learned while I was there. And a lot of that will be unpicking that through the year with you guys, but also a lot of it I'll be able to hopefully get through today. So let's jump into it. Last time I spoke to you guys, I just finished the session with Alex, and I kind of want to jump through to maybe the last day of the trip. Maybe that's most interesting. And then I'll go back and talk about Isabella Hambalelli, which is where it would intersect with, as I said, some disappointment of some things falling through, which does happen. And actually 2 benefits of that, which I will talk about in a moment. But first of all, it's the Sunday before I fly back. So I flew back on a Monday, and it was the Sunday. And I kept getting weather warnings while I was in LA, and people were talking about rain. And me and my friend, who's Belgian, used to European weather, Jerome, were kind of laughing at it and going, yeah, well, we'll see how it goes. But turns out the day that I was leaving and the day before I was leaving, a real storm happened. So I remember leaving Ojai, which is this gorgeous, beautiful little town in kind of northwestern California, where I was staying with Daniele, who was also on this show. And I remember kind of having to grip the wheel. So I left their house and there was like a storm warning, and I went outside and it was starting to rain quite heavily. I'd been warned that Southern Californians, no offense, don't know how to drive in the rain. So I did get a bit of a masterclass in how to not drive in the rain. But there was me gripping the wheel, not listening to any music, not listening to any audiobooks, genuinely just staring at the road and being really, really careful as to how it went. I drove, it was about 3 o'clock on the day before I left, and I drove an hour or so to Calabasas. And I met a guy called Reese Canyon. And luckily, you know, I could talk about Reese for a long, long time, and especially that session, which I'll try and deconstruct. But there will be an interview with him coming out where we talk about literally the day on the day. And I think that's the beauty of it, that you guys can jump into that later in the year. But just my perspective on that was the commitment of having to drive through that storm. Because yes, I had to get to the airport, but wanting to make time to go and see someone can be quite a special thing. Even for me, realizing that, yeah, this is the last day and I could just stay here longer. I could kind of chill out in this beautiful little haven that I managed to find. Thanks to Daniele and his family, whom I'll talk about more in a short moment. And it's all music related, don't worry. Because I could talk about Daniele and his family outside of the philosophy, the business, the things I learned about writing books and screenplays and all these kinds of things that, and martial arts, all the fun we had. I could do a whole podcast on that, but I'll keep it strictly music when we do talk about Isabella, his daughter, who's a fantastic artist that I've started working with. But wrapping all of that into this story of just that drive, it's a weird thing. When you are essentially risking your life, which sounds strange, but going out and driving in that weather to get to a songwriting session, it's kind of strange. It's kind of weird. And I have to say thank you to a couple of people, well, everyone that listens to the show, everyone that works with me. But I remember a few people sending messages about how the trip was quite inspiring and how the trip seemed to be fun. You know, that kind of like the dream, quote unquote, of being a songwriter. And I think that is cool. And it's only because I have that support and those messages and that kindness that's shared, that honesty that's shared, that I feel like I can go, okay, this is worth getting in a car. This is worth kind of going and finding out how this works and doing these things like taking these trips, which are not free. They're not easy and they can be very difficult and very stressful. And particularly the way my brain works is when I'm in a place, I want to make it work. I want to squeeze every ounce I can out of it. And it's kind of a strange mindset to some people, but I'll do everything I can to get everything I can out of the trip. Hence why I find myself driving through the rain. I can still picture it. Just kind of gripping the wheel on the highway and barely able to see in front of me. And you never know when a kind of puddle's going to pop out or someone's going to overtake from the left or from the right. And some people are not paying really any attention to their huge 4x4s, which I was jealous of at that point as we go through the highway. So I drive this hour to get to Calabasas with Reese, and it's just hammering down. You know, I joked about Californian weather earlier, but this was genuine heavy stuff. And there were cars like who'd slid off the road on both sides, and I was just kind of grinding my teeth and gripping the wheel just to get there. So I made it to Reese's and park around the back. And there's a river running down the side of the road between the road where you park your car and then the pavement. You literally had to jump like a 5-foot tiny river just to get onto the pavement where you're being soaked through, and I had my stuff in my bag. So it's really funny, like running into this apartment. And Reese greeted me. So I'd met Reese a couple of days before. We were supposed to have a session and he'd cancelled. But I can only say that because he talks about it on the podcast and it's very relevant, which is really sweet of him and why I really enjoyed spending time with him. But jumping over, getting through the apartment place, going to this incredibly long corridor. Like everything in America is just completely different. The length of the corridor in their apartment block, we can kind of like see it swaying. That's how far it is. But we go into this place and it's so cool because their flat is set up. So you can see Ellie, who'd just won a Grammy that morning, which is pretty cool. So shout out again to Ellie Duhay. But Reese had kind of set up his studio in the corner. So like this beautiful like apartment, and then he had both of his speakers, a couple of keyboards, his whole setup in the corner. I was like, sweet, this is the vibe, this is really enjoyable. And luckily we spent time together like 4 or 5 hours just chopping it up and talking about what we struggle with, honestly. And again, he really goes into this in the interview, which I'm looking forward to you guys hearing, but just talking about sensitivity, talking about the father wound is how he put it. And I just absolutely love that and how that affects you, you know, why you walk on eggshells, why we have low self-esteem, why we struggle with certain things and why we often feel weird. You know, both Reese and I have kind of a lot of similarities in many ways, but if you saw us together or if you hear us even talking, you'd think these guys have got nothing in common. But that was the beauty of it, was meeting someone there, having the benefit of having spent, you know, 4 or 5 hours, a couple of days before this. In fact, on my way down on Thursday night to Ojai, where I stayed that weekend, and on my drive back to the airport, I saw Reese both times. So got into the session and it was really interesting. Again, we go into the podcast, but just my perspective on it was coming to someone's house, being welcomed to the house. And that was really kind. And like seeing Ellie's records on the wall, which Reese was very, very sweet about. He's like, oh, you know, I tend to take them down when I'm doing Zoom calls and stuff, because it's not technically my work. And then, you know, we're just laughing because Ellie had just won a Grammy that morning, which is just incredible. And as you know on the show, I talk about Grammys in a sense of having marked an achievement, having marked a place in what would be like established songwriting, particularly in America. That's kind of the golden ticket, and it's not the be all and end all. As I said, there are more successful songwriters that probably have sub 1,000 streams on their stuff, but those songs to me are more successful than some of those that do win awards. But I'd be lying if I didn't want a Grammy, and I'd be lying if I didn't say it will change your life, and I would be lying if I said I didn't, you know, wouldn't dream of having one. So all of that is kind of out of your control. It's very much within the LA scene, and despite it being a difficult town to live in, and my experience was kind of really fast paced being in LA, I totally understand why people are there, why people fight it out, and also why the music industry just booms there, because everyone is within those kind of square hours drive, if you want to call it that. So that was the beautiful context of coming in and seeing the work that she's done. And again, you take someone who's incredibly talented with a very efficient, hardworking team of producers, of managers, still takes her like a decade to really get that worldwide recognition, which is completely earned. So it's really interesting. Even like those snippets, those are things I can't quite articulate in the moment, because as soon as I walked in the door with Reese, we were just going through his songs. And it's just these tiny things you pick up, and seeing that You know, I also joke with Reese that like seeing the books that they read as a couple is really interesting, and seeing the way they conduct themselves in terms of like how they eat and what they do and don't do. Like, I really enjoyed that because Los Angeles has a very different attitude to where I am particularly, but where we kind of all resonate in the UK industry or in the, yeah, it was just really cool to see the differences. And practically in terms of songwriting, getting to know someone before the session can be so useful, because I found that when I walked through the door, Reese and I already had a handle on each other's humor, what we're interested in. He'd had his company he started, it's called Pod. Beautiful cacao juice stuff, like this pouch he gave me, he gifted me these pouches when I was on my way out when we had dinner. He's like, hey man, sorry I'm late, this is for you as a gift, which I then went to share with Daniele and his family. But that was really cool. So we had a couple of those pouches rocked up, and pretty much as soon as I got there, I think I was there for about 4.5 hours, maybe a touch less, but he just showed me his music, which I loved. We'd already gone through a bit of each other's lives and had a laugh and shared that time, so that when I arrived through the storm, like drying out my clothes and looking like a wet rat, as soon as we got there, he started playing songs. It was awesome because I hadn't really had the time to hear his stuff in depth, but to hear someone's music in the room. And what was great is that he really offered these things. He's vulnerable. Like, you could tell, like this big guy, with talent, and obviously invested in this equipment. That's where you see someone's studio, like, okay, guy, this guy's serious. It's not just a whim for him. And he played this first song, and it was just gorgeous, kind of laid back, like imagine Dragon-Z, Post Malone, almost like choral tribal song. I was like, okay, cool. And I think of people's influences like the 5 points of a star. And you go, okay, if the palm, if you take your hand, you know, the palm is you, then imagine each of your fingers, the points of your fingers, let alone a star, are the kind of extremes of your interests and the extremes of your influences. So you think, I said to Reese, like, play me 5 songs, just do it, because that way it gives the opportunity for Reese and also you guys listening and even me, you know, what 5 songs truly represent me. And that can be a great way to set out projects, to see if you work well with someone, to find the right producer, or to collaborate with people in a way they understand where you're coming from. And I found that as I heard his songs, I'm like, okay, cool, this is this. And then he showed me like quite an upbeat one he kind of written for live. And then also, of course, you can hear, okay, what's their production style? Where could they benefit from being pushed or being criticized in a nice way? Or like, what does their vocal sound like? What register do they normally sit in? What kind of lyrics do they talk about? All of this, I know it sounds obvious, but particularly when you're in a room with someone or you know someone and then you hear their music, there's so much information that exchanges place and stuff you just can't get on Zoom. And I myself, you know, I'm a proponent of that, and I'm really lucky to be able to work online. It allows me to have this fantastic life that I can just piss off around the world. I mean, it's difficult to do. But it's so worth it to be in that room and hear people's music. And as I said, as he went through his songs, you could see he was kind of nervous and kind of like looking down. And it's hard to explain fully, but despite being this big, confident guy with clearly with talent, we all regress to this almost childlike state. And I even remember when I was playing my portfolio for Alex up at his studio, Alex Garingas, again, patron of the show, absolute hero, very, very kind human being, incredibly knowledgeable and talented as well. But playing songs for him, you know, it's kind of shaky. You go, well, okay, well, this is the stuff. This is what I'm here for. And I remembered that energy when I was listening to Reese's stuff, and I made sure to add to it. And if I had an idea, like I heard some kind of production things that maybe he'd consider, and just putting it in a way technically and emotionally that's easy for him to absorb in a way that he wants to be able to take feedback. And I could see that he appreciated it, because he kind of, again, it's a feeling you see in someone that they could accept the fact that you've taken the sting out of that criticism and you've tried to make it positively critical, which is what I always talk about. And you could see how he enjoyed that. And then he went, okay, cool, let me try this. And he played me another couple. And then he played this absolute genius card, because he's a very kind of quiet, unassuming guy. Tries to keep his indoor voice turned on, which he will get that joke, because a lot of Americans have outdoor voices, shall we say. But he played the song for me. And as soon as I heard it, I promise you, like I said, I'd been there 15 minutes and we'd hung out, had a water and just, you know, go crazy, right? Have a water on a Sunday in Los Angeles, crazy. And then we started playing these songs, as I said, and as soon as he played this song, he says, hey, I've got something. Like, okay, cool. Because everything has obviously been for him, been writing music for himself. And we talked about like writing stuff for him. So I really liked what he did. And he mentioned a couple of the influences that he loved. Chainsmokers, Post Malone, 1975. I hadn't really had a chance to write for those genres. So he played this song for me. And instantly, like I think he played 24 bars of it. And I had my phone out and I was just singing into a voice note. And that was the start of our session. And I promise you, like, I don't normally work just in voice notes. I normally have my laptop, but I was in voice notes. And then these ideas were coming so fast that I just had a note in my phone, like Apple Notes. And then I managed to like share that with him later. But essentially he was just playing the track and I was like, dude, can we start recording? And he was like, okay, cool. So I had a voice note. And then from there, just started humming over the hook. I just found this one thing I really liked and he'd heard it, went, okay, yeah, that's big. That's definitely what we're going for here. And it was this strange kind of, imagine like Disclosure with Chainsmokers and Post Malone all in one track in this like quite strange song. Because he played me a couple of songs that were a bit slower. One was a bit more of a fast vibe, but this one just seemed perfectly weighted. And it just, the BPM that I really love to write to, the BPM that I gravitate to. And it came out so quickly. And I remember having the melody almost instantly and him kind of, you can tell when someone likes what you've done. And that was the feeling. And the interesting thing of this session was not a lot was said. It was more what's not said. And the more of the way that someone it kind of accepts your ideas, or when you pitch an idea, which is what we're all doing in sessions. When you're in real life, you can see that they like it. You can see that they're trying to just like get out the way of what you're doing. And you can hear Reese talking about his mindset behind that and the kind of cheeky trick that he played when that comes out later in the year. But just had this frictionless writing process. And I never had a session like that where I genuinely was up at the mic and just really enjoying it. It's been a long time since I felt like that. And working with Reese, that's him as a producer and a writer, but he'd done all that work to create an incredible track. And I found out actually he'd written some cool stuff underneath it before, but he just gave me the blank track and just wanted to see what I did with it. And we had it done so quick. And we were exactly on the same page. I think I'd written the idea for the hook and I sort of saw him co-sign it and go, yeah, we like this. This is the vibe. Boom, here's the hook. And then as I'm singing the hook, I'm kind of coming up with lyrics while he's opening up Ableton, getting it ready. I'm like, okay, cool, get my notes out, just start throwing ideas down. And it was this really beautiful kind of lightning writing thing. I talked about maybe earlier on in the podcast where I was kind of a bit more, well, much less experienced in songwriting. And writing that Sunday in Reese with Reese, you know, coming through the storm, I think it adds a lot of drama to the idea. And knowing I had a kind of certain amount of time, I kind of just went, okay, cool, I love the song, should we do it? He was like, okay, sweet. And the mic was there. I just, you know, help him out because I've got some experience. Just getting the mic set up, boom, headphones are on and we're singing. And I remember doing a pass of the song. The song's maybe 3 minutes. And I did essentially sang the chorus a bunch of times, just in different ways and tried different voicings and different ideas and came up with lyrics kind of as I'm doing it, or as he was playing it back, and really enjoyed it. Standing there, singing in the flat and just being very present, being very grateful and really, really fucking enjoying that and singing in a part of my voice that was comfortable. And I knew it worked well for the key of the song. And I knew it worked well for the idea that we were going for. And it's just suited. It's one of those things that it does come out quite quickly because you've really struggled. And again, we talk about it on the interview, but you don't come up with songs that quickly and unless, not instead of, but unless you have struggled for a long time with other ideas and really ground out the hours to put the practice in to be able to have something that comes out smoothly. That's at least how I see it. I don't truly believe in that myth of songs only being written in like half an hour. I think it's, you got it in half an hour this time because you really ground out the other sessions and really made sure that you analyze the things you didn't quite get. And you work with people that are different genres to you. And you went through those difficult experiences that, you know, I can think of clients or sessions or artists that I found and produced and you think, wow, that didn't work out. Or wow, that was a real grind. But then you have sessions like I did on Sunday, which is surreal to say I was in Sunday only LA ago. I was in LA only on Sunday. So as you can tell, this is day one and a half of jet lag. I'm doing it. I'm still here, but I'm finding it difficult to formulate my ideas as I'd like to do, but this is the point. This is what I'm trying to do, just give a slice of how I am approaching trying to become a writer in this industry, trying to learn as much as I can going in and doing so. But back to that session with Reese is that we had this vocal track. I'd done, as I said, like 3 minutes of just singing the hook over and over again. And he went, "What do you think of this? I think this is cool." And I went, "What?" And he'd gone back and played me a section that I don't remember writing, but we used that as the base for all of the verses. And I think it was maybe an 8-bar thing that we ended up, you know, doubling. So we had then that kind of 16 bars, which is 4 lines each time we have the verse. And again, my favorite experience, Reese was just like, "This is really cool. I captured this." I was like, "No, I don't remember doing that. It was maybe something I did as a warm up to try and get myself into the hook." And again, we have the same sensibilities. So pretty much exactly what I sang, we both liked. And I can often be known to be quite analytical or quite technical. That's the whole point of this podcast, and really trying to unpick what's successful, what does work, what doesn't work with artists and their songs. But it's this weird thing where, like, if you sing the right thing in the right emotional state at the right time with the right person on the right track, you almost can't go wrong. I didn't have any particular words that came out. It was all melismatic, meaning no lyrics, just sound. But it's this funny thing. It was like, "Oh, this is the verse." There was no question of it. And we didn't really even tweak any of the melodies. We kind of melody matched, which is where you take the melody and you add lyrics appropriately to it. And just sitting with Reese was so cool. Again, this frictionless thing. He just did his Rick Rubin moment of just sitting back and allowing the ideas to come and kind of giving them a space to live within. And then we just looped that verse and sat back and forth. This is when I kind of shared with him my note for my lyrics. And we were laughing because it was a bit delayed. And he was like suggesting things while I changed them. Or I wrote a line while he was singing something. It popped up as he was singing it. And he was like, it just worked well. That's how you know that the syllables work well for something, is he literally was watching it pop up as he was singing out the verse, and then it worked perfectly. And he sang it in exactly the way in which I'd written it, syllable-wise. So we were just so much on the same page, and we had these 4 lines of no written lyric, but we knew what the song was about because we'd started to discuss it. Again, you can hear on the podcast, but the chorus was, "You are the one, or you're all that I want. You are lover." So it's just quite like babyish thing, like John Mayer talks about it with Why You No Love Me. Going back to just what you want to say, and I remember having the hook and going, "You are all that I want, you are lover." And I remember singing it. It was really gorgeous, like seeing in their flat and seeing wonderful pictures of them as a couple. And it was this like quite melancholy because of the storm outside and the rain and darkness. It's like, oh, what would happen if you'd lost this person you really cared about? And, you know, what would that wanting feel like? So we'd written the chorus, simple lyrics that were kind of like babyish lyrics, but I really liked it. It just suited it. And then when we were writing the verse, we started to have a conversation about, first of all, what words am I almost saying? Like, I would hear the gibberish and Reese would be like, this word. I go, oh yeah, that's really cool. And then we start firing ideas back and forth. And again, it doesn't always go this smoothly, but when two of us are thinking the same way, but also when Reese is just playing the assist, which he then again speaks about beautifully on the podcast, about when someone is hot, let them be hot. Don't change it. Don't criticize it. If they're working well, if they're going quick, if they're working properly, why stop them? You don't need any more of an input, because he said himself, you know, he's written the whole damn track. Like, he's put all the work in, he's sung other ideas, and he just heard what I wrote and he loved it. So he did this fantastic thing that, having been on the side of it, I would love for you guys to start thinking about developing. But how do you become the best co-writer? How do you become the person who is an assistant? You move the idea and you are as much part of the person writing the song. You're as much part of the song as the person writing it. By just assisting them and kind of managing it. And I'm trying to find the word. There's this word trying to emerge, but it's not quite coming. But you're there. You're capturing the idea with them. And I remember Reese going back and forth and throwing words, and what I'd wrote, he went, yeah, I love it. And I wasn't sure if he was just being nice, but he was genuinely like, no, this is cool. And we since had a conversation. He was like, yeah, I tracked it, really loved it, really worked. He's kind of playing around with where it fits in his voice. And we're talking about what we want to do with it, how we want it to work. But just maybe like 2.5 hours all in, or maybe a bit less, I'm not sure, because we then did an hour podcast and then we hung out for a little bit and then I had to go. to drive through the storm, which I'll talk about maybe later. That was even worse. Worst driving I've ever had to do in my life. It's all dramatic. Did it for you guys. That's what I thought. If I go out, this is how I go. At least I've done a podcast update. That's what it's about. I'm sure my parents would be proud if that's the last thing I did in my life. So that session was awesome with Reese. Truly, and we finished first verse, second verse, and he came up with this great idea of people kissing goodbye their partners when they go to war. You don't know if you're going to see them again. So we'd written this love song and it was kind of like angsty and dark and sad. Lots of melancholy, but we wanted to try and make it kind of sort of like magical-ish and not so specific that you can't read into it. Sometimes I can really go for, and I truly believe it's a great way to write lyrics, like incredibly specific, deep dived and emotional, Nashville payoff, set off, all these kinds of things. But for this song, I just loved going back to that juvenile, like, what does it feel like I want to say? And then we were landing it because the emotion was there, the song was there, the feeling was there, the structure was there, and the performance was there because I felt comfortable. I felt open and everything I did felt like it worked. And Reese was just humble enough to go, yeah, cool, like this, try this, chop this up. And then all we're doing is like taking what I'd done, moving it to the place it needs to be. Then we had the second verse and we're like, right, how do we develop the story? And again, it was the same process of just firing things until they stick, and they were sticking so quick. And it was hilarious. Like we'd just done a couple of takes, a few ways through, talked about it, and that was it. And Reese was kind of like reeling a bit. He was like, wow, okay, cool. That was that. And again, he's very kind about what he says in the podcast of us working together, but I just fire it back at him. No matter what the other person's doing, me in that case of the top liner, they need it to be facilitated. That's the word I was looking for. By someone else who's got a great track, an open space, a kind heart, non-judgmental, but also like still running his thoughts by me, by way of what I come up with, and just being very positively critical if he was critical at all. And again, facilitating that process is so important. And it's that ministry of presence we talked about. We talk about Rick Rubin. I think Reese had that in buckets, and it was such a pleasure to be present and to be doing that. And then we had the interview, and again, shout out to Ellie. We did it on the podcast as well, but it's just, it takes so much work to get a Grammy, and it's truly, truly special. And I look forward to updating you guys, because again, working with Reese is awesome, and just special to be there on that day with him and just have such a laugh as well. I think it was great in terms of professionally what we were able to achieve, but then also what we talked about in between and where we went with the song. And when you write a song like that with someone like that, it sparks something and you go, okay, there's something here. And I've had that before again with a couple of people on this show, and it hasn't maybe gone exactly as I'd liked in a lot of ways. But when you write with someone and something clicks, you just have to explore it. And even something pops into my mind that Alex Geringas said, and he said, some of the people you've had incredible success with, took them like 2.5 years of writing together often to get that first thing that landed. And that was crazy. Because you would assume that someone like Alex, you know, it's the first thing that pops off and it works. But no, and he's very open to collaboration. You know, worked with James and I for a couple of days, and it's a project I need to get onto as well. Which I think I talked a little bit about on the last time. So I won't go into that one. But it takes time, and you really have to make an effort to go and spend time with these people. Same with Reese, like literally driving through a storm. We laughed about it. It's like a bit of a love story, really. And I rocked up with chocolates and tea. So who knows what could have happened if we hadn't written a song, Destiny. But then again, that drive from Reese's to get my car dropped off, to then get to the motel, to then get to the airport, you know, like all of that. I didn't need to put that much effort in, but I think it counts. I think when you make an effort to turn up, not just physically turn up, but also I was lucky enough that day to land on a song that I loved. And I think to deconstruct why it was so good, as I said, there's ministry of presence, it's talent for production, it's ability to record quickly, but also cheekily, again, you can hear it on the interview, but he said, actually, Jamie, I'd heard your portfolio last night. Again, I went through it and I thought, okay, what ideas do I have that I think he will like? And just like that, he played it. Like, I kind of remember him smiling actually when he played it, and I didn't realize at the time that he like set me up in a great way. And I think that takes some class as well. to know what I would really love and really vibe to. And as soon as he played it, it was my favorite thing I'd heard. I was like, boom, let's go on this. What is this? And I think credit to him on that. But again, love the Chainsmokers, love Post Malone. And they're often artists that people kind of sniff at or haven't had much opportunity to work with. So that was really cool. Being able to go out to LA and work with someone that's completely different from what I've done before. And actually, he wanted to work with someone like me. I wanted to work with someone like him. So now we're just trying to figure out how we continue that at a distance, because it does change it. That's a big thing as well, coming back, realizing that people I really want to work with, some of them are out there, or some interviews I really wanted to capture, I couldn't quite get. Like the great writer I talked about meeting at the Michael J. Woodard showcase where Katy Perry rocked up. Casey and his manager, really sweet. And we didn't manage to schedule an interview, but just, you can tell, like, it's nice when people are trying to make it work and they're responsive and flexible, and looking forward to having him on the show. And that will be later in the year for sure. Then who knows where that goes? You know, if you get along with someone, much like anyone I met out there, is just keeping up with them, talking to them and working with them. And speaking of, because I have a call with my favorite human, one of my favorite humans, Julian Honinger. And actually, that was a moment. I was driving up from seeing Jay Rentz, whom I also have on the show. So again, I probably will do another update on LA and kind of reflect on the show, because there's a number of people that I met out there since the first update that just amazing, like spending time with Jay Rentz down in San Diego. Again, we podcasted, we hung out, we surfed, went to In-N-Out, we did the whole LA bingo, or SoCal bingo, sorry, because it'd be sad if I called San Diego LA. But even just driving up from seeing James to driving up to have a meeting with Jerome in Long Beach, on the way I called Julian, and just a fantastic human being. We spoke for like an hour and I said to him, it's so nice to talk to you while I'm here, because he has been someone that's instrumental to my career, to my coaching, to having a chance at any of this and even to this podcast in a way. So that was like a beautiful moment. So I will try and wrap up a bit before I chat to him today. But the other person I wanted to talk about, because I mentioned some disappointment going to LA and not being able to work with everyone that I wanted to, and particularly feeling that because I'm someone that's like, okay, I've put a lot into this trip, or I'm here, so let's make it work. And, you know, I could definitely be one to force it sometimes, but that's just the way I am. If I see something and I want to try and make it work, I will do my best to do so. And actually, you know, there was an artist that was supposed to come and join us that couldn't. And that's, you know, that sucks. You know, you don't want to, I think, deny that, because that'll pop up later. So you kind of sit with it and go, that's a real shame. That sucks. Obviously, still spoke to them and said, you know, totally get it. It's quite a weird thing to do. And I'm looking forward to working with them, probably remotely again, which would be sweet. I'll talk about that actually when it comes up again, because that'd be a great project. And I took that and went, okay, well, if I can't work with them, luckily, again, using luck how I like to use luck, not necessarily kind of wishy-washy, no control thing, but because of preparation, because of forcing myself to capitalize on opportunity, forgive me, jet lag, I met and spent more time with Isabella Hanbalelli, whom also was lucky enough to grab a quick interview with. She's a fascinating human being. She's 14 years old, going on 60, with the things she's been able to achieve already and actually do, and the raw talent that you have. It's kind of a prerequisite, but she understands completely that must be worked on diligently. And, you know, coming from, she's already kind of edited books. She's proficient in martial arts, which is like scary. Could it be sweet, kind, very aware, had some things happen in life that grew her up in a really, really noticeable way. But luckily she maintains her youth. And just watching her go through this vocal session that we had, so difficult. Like, I would never have been able to go through it like that with that grace and that achievement at 14 years old. So seeing her like that, so seeing her in that environment and then spending time with her and her family, she in general was just an absolute fucking pleasure. Still reeling. Still strange to realise that, you know, that finding that haven. But I think I'll get a bit emotional if I talk about that. But the thing with Isabella is that she has this fantastic voice. She can play piano, she can play guitar, she can perform. She's already had experience kind of doing content, recording in studios. But the awesome thing is that when I first spent time, I spent 2 weekends in Ohio with her and with them. And you'll be hearing a lot more from her, obviously on the show, but also from me talking about her. She's kind of someone I'm now working with, developing in quite a kind of hands-on way with with our project, because yeah, I mean, I talked about it briefly before on the show, and I'll keep you guys updated on all of this, and it could easily turn into 6 hours of me talking about everything I did. But working with Iz is special because the first day I got there, as soon as she came through the door, I said hi, hung out, we met, and then she had a singing lesson, which I absolutely loved, because she's not sitting on her talent. She's not taking for granted the fact that she is young, the fact that she is talented, the fact that she does have this ability, and these stories, and even some of her demos, you know, she started to write are really cool. There's some real moments there. And I just love that you have a talent and you work on it. And that lines up perfectly with the way that I see luck, is that you have a preparation. Sorry, you have a talent and you prepare. You put hours and hours and hours in. And I just really enjoyed that about Iz working with her, that she's so inquisitive and so open to ideas, but also has a track record of proving that she can work on something and you know, nailing it at school, nailing it in martial arts, nailing it as a human being, nailing it with some traveling and writing and all of that at such a young age, which you can see because her family are incredible people and very, very kind, but very, very unique in that sense as well. So she's flourished in that environment. Credit to everyone there, and thanks for having me. Amazing people. But again, I want to come back to that idea that if you have some talent, as a lot of you guys that listen to the show have so much talent. Some of you that I work with in coaching, some of you I just have the opportunity to talk to, which is a privilege, or some of your songs I get sent in, and there's some crackers coming up that we've had this year. Again, because of this trip, it's been delayed doing help desk, so forgive me for that, but we're getting that rectified as soon as possible before I pop off again next week, which will be super cool. I'll probably talk to you guys about that as well when that happens. There'll be some music happening, luckily, as we go. But the special thing is someone like that who's willing to work hard, already has talent, and you work on it. You don't just take for granted that you're good or that you have a good song. It's that you have a great song. And then the second marathon, if the first marathon is writing a great song and learning how to write great songs, the second marathon is going out and creating opportunities for yourself and that song, by way of marketing, by way of creating professional relationships, digital relationships, personal relationships, all these things that I talk about and want to talk about more this year. And I will do so, because that's also what I'm seeing is people like Iz that have talent, but then they go out. A number of my clients have not just settled on talent. They spend their time and their sessions working on talent, but then they go and create opportunities for themselves and see that richer, wider experience where you, okay, go and get a vocal coach and that vocal coach knows someone, or go and play live and that person knows this. Or like Aya's had incredible success with a particular type of content that's allowed him to then play bigger shows, theater shows, these kinds of things. And seeing those people that have talent go and create opportunities for themselves by getting better, but also spending that time turning that into opportunities, that's what I'd really love to impart on this show. If you find the songwriting stuff technically useful, that's fantastic. I can do that as well. Some clients, that's all that I do with them, but the clients I'm really seeing grow are the ones that put in consistent time with themselves. And even Stu today said, you know, yes, the work happens in the session, but the work that really counts is what you do outside of coaching sessions with me. Even if it's frequent, like I have people that are weekly, but it's those that do time outside of the sessions, really committing to it and working on things that are going to move the needle efficiently. So in those areas, if some people are great at songwriting, cool, they need to start working opportunities. Or people that have incredible opportunities need to make sure their songs live up to that. And like Alex said, is, you know, the quality of your songs will dictate how your meetings go and whether you'll be offered opportunities. And equally, I was talking to Jerome Renard, who's a fantastic human being, very intelligent, great strategy as well. Said the same thing. You laid out this fantastic plan that I'm going to, you know, implement with Iz, but also started implementing with a couple of clients that are interested in that, which I'm really enjoying as well, that kind of development. He said, none of this plan really matters if your songs aren't fantastic. If they aren't at least great, you know, if there's okay, good, great, they have to be at least great. So that was cool too, to see that the quality of what you do will translate into better opportunities or even just having opportunities. So it really is both sides of that dice. And so when I met Iz and spent time with Iz, it's just clear this person wanted to do it. And I kept telling her and her parents, like, this is really hard. Even if you have talent like Iz, even if you have the ability and the time currently to work on it, it's still really hard. And there's so many things you have to come up with and come up against to succeed. But every time I told her, she's like, yeah, cool. What do we need to do? Same with our dad, like, yeah, cool. What do we need to do? And that's the attitude to have. And that's not one I had. One I'm learning, which is awesome to see what it takes to use your talent. And be if you're a freakish talent, you have to work freakishly hard to give yourself a chance. And then how do you turn that into a career or opportunities, you know, building relationships, starting to talk to people. And how do you do that? Through things like this podcast or through things like talking to myself. I'm recommending Philippa this morning to different producers and educating her as to how you approach them. I'll also be doing a kind of separate insight on that as to how, what you need to know before you approach a producer. And it was really cool. Again, thanks, Philippa. Bringing out that practical side of, oh yeah, these are things that not everyone understands. These are things that songwriters need to understand as well for their own sakes. What do you need to know when you approach producers? And this is something that all comes into this skill set. And to kind of talk about that a bit is, when working with an artist like Iz, it was quite a responsibility. And I remember seeing on the first weekend and, you know, just loving that environment. It's still like pinch yourself, and talking to Danny this morning, her dad, Daniele, it's still like pinch yourself, like such good people, can't believe that they're so kind. And then I had to take time in between when I went back to LA for a couple of days to do some sessions and meet people. I had to really realize like the responsibility of this, working with someone this young and this talented, and what that means, because I need to use every skill set that I have to help this person in every way. So that was kind of what was boggling. And again, talking to Jerome was amazing. So check out Jerome Renard. He does an incredible newsletter on music as well. And if you want to stay on up to date, then that's the place to go. Check that out. JeromeRenardMixing.com or JeromeRenard.com. You'll find him. So talking to him was amazing. And having that plan that I'd come up with, like a basic plan, and then him updating me on what's been happening with like UMG and Sony, what they're interested in, and even him understanding what's literally happening that day, that week, how it affects the industry, then me be able to go and fold that back into a plan. Then I had a session with La La Luna, like literally the next day, and she was asking about those things. So again, thanks to Jerome for that preparation. And then going back the last weekend before I flew, which just takes us to the Sunday driving through the storm to work with Reese. But that preceding weekend, I'd spent with Iz and her family, and sitting with Iz and like doing, it was two songwriting sessions on Saturday. But the morning we started the idea, and the afternoon we kind of finished it again, and also interviewed her, which was awesome. And you get to hear her in her very powerful wisdom, but also innocence, and just a really wonderful human being. You hear that in her interview. But getting to see her in songwriting sense and watching her deal with like using GarageBand to record. So that etiquette and that skill set, plus writing on piano, plus rewriting, and going through all these different skills, and kind of realizing the responsibility again and what really needs to happen, and that overarching plan, and how do you prepare, but then how do you plan, how do you execute, what does she need? And it took a while to really have all that sink in, and again think about, what skills do I need to bring to this, where do I need to step in, where do I need to step out, what do I need to let her struggle with? And again, seeing her, luckily I went to go and see her record with Marcus Trump, wonderful human being, and seeing her really go through that process of what a recording session can be like, and seeing how she handled that, seeing how she's kind of, as she said, starting to really take her independence instead of just going back to comfort. It's the same idea as if you just rest on your talent, or you just go back to comfort, or you just go back to the kind of the minimum of what's expected of you, particularly at her age. You know, she could go, oh, I don't want to do this, not interested. I want to be 14. I want to be at school. She's the complete opposite. She's like, I don't want to just do what everyone else is doing. I want to work on me. What do I need to do? What hours do I need to spend? And just moments like that, working with someone, it's very inspiring. It's very refreshing too, to realize that this industry does need people like her. And also, luckily, because of all the work I've done, I do have the skill set and most of the answers. And then having people like Jerome or James to lean on and kind of have conversations with, and those ongoing conversations, it's surreal. So to have not only spent time with them and their family, because I could have just taken that as a experience, it would have been worth the whole trip and more, what I learned talking with all of them and being in that environment. But then to also come out with it with an artist who's fantastic and strapping in for the long run and seeing what we can do and making time to write and catch up. And you know, there'll be trips back and forth to work on this stuff. And as I do that, I'll obviously talk about it on here and share the insights I've got. And for me, it's been great to take what I've learned, take what I think I know, take what I work on, take what I sell essentially as a coach and what I endorse and see that coming to fruition with someone who is just fresh and is very, very happy to tell me when something doesn't work or doesn't make sense. But seeing these things land and seeing them help people, it's difficult to explain. So that is a project I'm really excited about and also scared with. That's probably best to be honest about that, is there's a lot of responsibility because as I said to Daniele this morning, I said, I realize I'm in a position whereby if I say something, they're likely to believe it. And if I say something, they will do it. So I want to make sure I'm properly informed. And that's why I love working with lots of different clients and lots of different people. And even just, like I said, the contact with people that listen to the show, so valuable. So valuable. And any of you guys that want to chat, just send me a message. I'd love to speak to you guys. I'd love to meet you guys because I learn something from every single person. And especially those that don't work with me, you know, just getting a glimpse of where they're at with their songwriting, how it feels, what they're doing. And some of the songs they send in to Emily's help desk, it's just, they are just ridiculously good. And it's a crime that they're not professional writers or they're not acknowledged for the success of what they do. So if not for everyone that listens to this show and everyone that interacts with me and everyone that works with me, I wouldn't, I think, have the ability to start to move confidently. It's still baby steps, but definitely made setbacks before, had huge setbacks before trying to help people with their projects and learning these ropes. And I feel like now this is possibly the start of something quite significant. It'd definitely be something fun and enriching, and working with not only her, but with her family is just a huge thing for me. So it's a funny thing. You don't just work with that person, you work with everyone around them. And that's why I'm really excited and why I have confidence in her and all of these things. So that's just a slice of what I'm reflecting on now as I think about the trip. And even just like James Guido and Lauren Abend or Law and Order, like those guys are ridiculously kind and amazing. And they jumped in with sessions and they turned up to kind of have fun. And they were so easy to talk to when things went wrong, or when like James invited me over, we had steak and salad and we just laughed all evening and talked about really important things and how we felt the trip had been and what we think of the industry here and what we think of what we're doing back home. How will this affect our careers? It's just January, you know, it's just the start of the year. And having been able to spend time yet again with Jerome and Yuki, thanks for having us, and James and Lauren, it's so cool, so fresh. And like spending time with Reese, spending time with Alex, spending time with people that I met and worked with, and Polly as well. Alex Geringas' daughter, fantastic, like singer, writer. Again, such an, I need to reach out and do some more writing, but working with her was amazing. You see someone who knows what they want to do, but again, isn't just resting on laurels, just going, okay, I'm going to get good at this skill, but what do I do here? And really taking advice, but also being able to, in sessions, we had a songwriting session with Lauren, James and I, and Polly, her being able to go, no, that's not my thing. I'm like, awesome. And all of us were happy with that. If you know what you want, tell us. We're here to help you with your song and your vision. And I think that's a big lesson we could all learn, is that if you're the artist, then you are the one who decides what happens. And it can definitely be made to feel like it isn't that way if people are not that experienced as producers, or maybe not that attuned to how it works. But fantastic balance. So again, Polly's really, really cool. And I look forward to talking about that as we get on to write some more stuff. And then Nina as well, who I'd love to work with this time in LA, but we'll see how that goes. Fantastic human being as well. So very talented people and so much learned. And I will probably dive back in. But as I said, thank you guys for listening. If you've made it this far, drop me a message. Like, what is going on with you guys? And I'm really enjoying working with more and more people, but there's always space to hear more of what's going on. And I don't know everyone that listens to this show, so that would really mean a lot to me if I did. And if you guys are just people that like to listen and watch, great. I appreciate everything about that as well, because it keeps me going. Just knowing that people are listening, it makes me feel confident to book those trips, to send those emails, to do these things that hopefully enrich this show, and hopefully that can help you guys. And as I said, I would love it if at any moment, any point in this show listening, you just pause it and go and do something about your career as a writer, or make progress, or go and practice. That would be even more meaningful. But if you want to reach out, send me a message. You know, we are Instagram or email. Amazing. Thank you. And as I said, I really hope this pushes you to do something meaningful for you. Because the whole point of me working with Iz is that I can take everything I did wrong and hopefully package it in a way that saves her time. You can't necessarily save effort or energy, but you could definitely, with experience, help people avoid some mistakes that aren't necessary. Because they're also very necessary mistakes and necessary resistance that she ran headfirst into, which is awesome. You know, how to really record vocals live, how to really write, and how frustrating it is. You can't avoid that sometimes, but hopefully this helps you guys and you get going. And if anything, I would love for you to take what I do, do it better. Take what you learn from this and use it better than I have. That would truly be awesome. So that's kind of a wrap on the LA trip for now. There'll be more interviews coming through the year, and pretty sure I'm going to be dropping a few anecdotes as we go as well. And thank you guys for the support when I was out there, because it really does help when you're kind of in the middle of it. And I'm back now, so I can wrap it as a package and I can look back on it as a thing. But while I was out there, and Liana as well, Liana Borsuk and Vasya Tremsen as well. It was so cool to work with you guys and physically see you there and meet you wonderful human beings in person. And for those people that I couldn't see when I was there, looking forward to it next time. And that is a wrap. I'll speak to you very soon.